Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Olin, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Been good. After another Bears win, that's three in a row. Really enjoying this run that they're on.
Yeah, it's so much better than what happened last year, and you couldn't help but consider what happened last year, even if no one wanted to really talk about it. There was this element of sort of poetic justice with the Bears and the backup kicker making a field goal after a fumble by the quarterback, and they win a game as opposed to what happened a year ago with the Fal Mary and then the successive losses that followed.
Yeah, and just a real gutsy performance against a really good football team, right? And you're wondering, I was wondering going into this game, what kind of football team were the Chicago Bears? Can they compete on the road versus a playoff contender, which is exactly what they did. Everybody thinks the Washington Commanders are, I think they think they're Super Bowl ready, especially after going out and getting all the signings they did in the offseason. I know the takeaways continue, right? Plus 10 in the last three games, but you got to go out there. You got to make the plays to compete against a good football team, which the Commanders are. And I thought the Bears did an excellent job, like you're talking about, after what we watched last year, showing that they understand time management. They understand how to win football games, when to make the plays. I thought, guys, that Caleb, from the pocket, we heard all this stuff coming out of college that he, you know, he's played hero ball. He always ran around. He couldn't play within a system. I thought we watched him last night do a really good job, whether it was hitting DeAndre Swift on that third and four, right? What do we always hear? Just get the ball in your playmaker's hands and let them make plays. Guys, if Zacchaeus catching that ball there in the, I think it was the fourth quarter, the drop there down by the Bears end zone, well, how many yards does Caleb have? And then continuing on that last drive, he hits Colston Loveland on a third and five, and then the Bears offensive line takes over the game, runs the ball down, and gets the Moody, the game-winning field goal. Really fun to watch a young quarterback in Caleb Williams makes those plays from the pocket, just get the ball in his playmaker's hands.
Based on what you saw and how you evaluated it, why do you think the Bears were able to have that success running the football when they needed to get the yards on the ground and move the ball down the field? What happened last night that maybe hadn't been happening before?
I think it started with their bye week corrections, David. I think it started with they went to the bye week. The coaches all got in that office. Coach Roshar, Coach Ben Johnson, Dan Roshar, obviously the offensive line coach, Eric Bieniemy, the running back coach. They all got together and said, man, you heard Coach Johnson say after the game, let's shrink this menu a little bit. Let's make it a little more simple for the guys so they can really get more reps at the plays they need to run. And all of a sudden, you've seen, guys, there weren't as many mental mistakes this morning when I watched the film. Guys were on the right guys. They were pointing the right linebacker. The combo blocks were so much better in this game than they have been going into this game. By that, I mean two offensive linemen working together up to the second level to block the linebacker. They did a really nice job of that, taking over the game, moving a down lineman, leaving for the linebacker at the right time. This offensive line played a really, really good football game. They're in the elements, on the road, silent count, a lot going on. Tip of the cap to Theo Benedict, who played a really good football game. He does a really good job, guys, getting to his spot out of pass roll. By that, I mean getting a jump on the cadence in silent count is really hard to do. Getting in front of people, and he shows you, just make the guy beat you in the NFL. It's amazing what you can accomplish if you'll compete on every play and do things the right way. And that's what Theo does. And I understand that was Jacob Martin he was going against yesterday. And there's Micah Parsons, and there's Gernard coming, and there's all these good pass rushers coming down the pipe at him. But for that night, last night, the Chicago Bears offensive line and DeAndre Swift running with attitude. And also, David and Mully, the Bears coaches asking guys, what side of the ball, offense or defense, asking guys to do what they thought they were very good at doing in the first game. They really took advantage of that bye week, I thought, and really executed their game plan against the Commanders.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. I thought it was fairly extraordinary, Olin, that they managed to make the kind of adjustments they did in an era where you don't practice, where you really get time off for the bye week. It wasn't like you could go back to basics and have this kind of almost like a boot camp, training camp type of situation. So it was more ethereal of the coaches coming up with ideas and making the players kind of buy into it than it was training them to do that sort of thing. I didn't know you could get that kind of stuff done in a bye week.
It's well said, Molly. And I think the first where it starts is actually recognizing what your actual problems are. We've seen that around here with the Chicago Bears. We've seen coaching staffs and that building in general struggle with, okay, what are our actual problems? Let's get them fixed, right? Talk about the defense and stopping the run, right? Okay, maybe we shouldn't have Shamar Turner in there at three technique. Maybe we should move him out to defensive end, where I thought he was effective last night against the run. I thought against tight ends and tackles, he did a really nice job. They moved Jonathan Ford up. We talked about it on this show a couple of weeks ago. I'd go with Jonathan Ford, and they moved Javon Dexter to three technique. Now, I know Grady Jarrett's out and has a lot to do with it, but Billings and Jonathan Ford there did a nice job. And then recognizing that putting TJ Edwards at Mike, having him back, having him align guys, having him recognize fronts, put guys in positions that they really need to be in so they're aligned correctly. And then it just released Tremaine Edmonds, man. And they use him, they blitz him, they use him a lot coming after the quarterback. They do a really nice job, again, when you turn their film on, okay, what does this guy do well? What is the player we have? What does he do well? Let's just ask him to do that. And I know that sounds simple to you guys. And it sounds like, man, why doesn't everybody do it? You'd be amazed how many teams don't do it. And when you watch the Chicago Bears going into the bye week, I got to say, man, the things I thought they need to do to correct what they're doing, they did almost all of it. And it was really fun to watch them last night get after it, take not stopping the run personal, go after the number one rush team in the NFL and slow them down. And I'll hit them and I'll play them. And that's what I think carries forward, guys, is the fact that what I saw on film last night and this morning, those are things you can carry and say, okay, that can actually win. Because let's be honest, you're not going to go plus 10 over three games for the rest of the season, right? You're just not going to do it. The amount of takeaways that they're getting, even that fumble that Jaden Daniels has, and you have to put him under pressure to make him fumble that ball. But there's the rain and everything else. But what the Chicago Bears defense did last night, stopping the run, the way they used their personnel, really, really impressive to watch, Molly. And what you're talking about, just they fixed the run game for one game and they fixed the run defense for one game. And that's all we talked about. That's all we talked about going before that game versus the Commanders. That's why they wouldn't win that game. Well, they shut me up and they went out and won the game.
How big was that move to TJ Edwards, and how difficult was it for maybe – this was the first full game that he played, and we're talking to him at 9:30, so I'm very curious to see what he says. But what you described is Tremaine Edmonds maybe not having as much to worry about in terms of responsibility or telling other people where to line up or what to call, being able to just use his athleticism, and it was reflected in the tackle total, and you don't need that to look at see how active both those guys were. You know, the Bears play so often with just two linebackers that it seems like it would be easy to have them lined up, but it sounds like there's more to it than that, and TJ Edwards being back was able to lessen the load for Tremaine Edmonds.
And even seeing DeMarco Jackson and Hippolyte being inactive, right, was another move that they made. But to your point, when I watched TJ Edwards play, man, he's the kind of guy you win football games with, right? He gets guys aligned. He allows guys to make plays. He gives you that little tip you need from the formation, from the front. Watch the zone read here. Watch the power. This guard right here is a little light. He might be pulling. And it just unlocks guys to play fast, play physical, and get after people. But you need one guy who probably – we talk about quarterbacks processing information from the pocket. You need a guy on defense who processes information from the middle of the defense. And they're the worst guys. I played center. I went one-on-one with these guys a lot. They're the worst guys to go against because you line up and you think you're about to run a play, and they say, man, watch the power coming right here over the right side. And they're right. That play is what you called in the huddle. And it looks to me like what TJ Edwards does. And like you said, David, with Jermaine Edmonds, with his blitzing, with what they were doing with him last night, he was playing as fast as I've ever seen him play. He was making good tackles, allowed him to use his athletic ability. And think about it. Think about how long people have left him at the Mike position, right? The Buffalo Bills traded him when he played Mike. By Mike, I mean the middle of the defense, the guys who makes the plays. The guys, when you see the motion goes, when the tight end goes in motion, when they change the fronts, they got to realign the defense and put everybody in spot. Guys, the hardest defense to run the ball on is guys who align correctly every time, and you have to move them out of their spot, and they just fit their run fits, and they shut the run down. And that's what you watch TJ Edwards provide last night, along with Billings, along with Brisker coming down and hitting people. Really, that stopping that run was a total defensive effort. Credit Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, their whole, Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator, the plan they came up with for one game, the plan they came up with to beat that team. Really, really impressive to me how they could fix that, as Mully talked about, in a bye week where you don't have a lot of pads, you don't have a lot of practices. But if you do identify exactly what your problem is, you can get things done. And that's what the Chicago Bears did.
Olin, they get the ball on the turnover at the 44-yard line, and they proceed to run eight plays. Five of them were swift carries for 34 yards, and four of those five went over to the right side. And you saw Darnell Wright blocking on those plays with his with a brace on his elbow, and watching him kind of playing hurt and stepping up and helping the running back in that position. Also, DJ Moore was credited for a couple of blocks on those plays. DJ Moore, you talk about Darnell Wright playing in a brace and needing off-season surgery. DJ Moore was hospitalized last night, spent the night in Washington after, I guess it was a hip injury, it looked like. But, to see those two guys doing some blocking while injured at the end of a game had to be pretty inspiring.
No doubt. And to start all off, 35, hit Colston Loveland, the first-round pick, who's been out for the first down, right? And then get the ball to DeAndre Swift. And the player you're talking about is called a toss crack, right, with Darnell Wright. Extremely athletic for a big man. Gets out there. He's got the cornerback to look inside. He's leading Swift. They toss Swift, right? Again, we talked about, ask the guys who do what they're good at. DeAndre Swift, get him on the edge, right? Give him and tell him, I'm going to give you your toss plays, man. I'm going to get you outside where you like to be. We're going to hit you in that pass in the end zone. You'll beat the guy one-on-one, score. But when we give you the ball inside, we want you running downhill and hard. DJ Moore, man, I hope he's okay. I heard that after stuff. I hope he feels better because he played a tough game. He was hurt, I think, in the first half on a catch, or second half. You could tell he was struggling with something. And then hear that he goes to the hospital. Man, we all hope that he is healthy and ready to go because he played a tough game. I heard Dustin earlier before I came on. They're running to the right side. The running back's averaging 7 yards a carry. Dustin thinks the right guard's playing bad. Very interesting to me to hear that stuff before I come on the show. But look, they did a good job there at the end of the game. Offensive line, DeAndre Swift, they take over the game, right? They take over the game. They get him out of space just so Dustin understands. There, the right guard has the hard block, right? He has to reach the D tackle. They pull the offensive tackle out to space to block cornerbacks. The Dahlman reaches his guys, gets on the linebacker. Offensive line working in sync, man, getting those yards late in the game to put them in a position to kick that winning, an easy game-winning field goal, right? One that you can just not easy. You got to make it, but put him in his range.
You're listening to a Plumber's 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. So, Olin, explain to everyone what happened with the Theo Benedict call, the illegal formation, what they can do to prevent that moving forward, and how bogus it might have been.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. I thought it was a bogus call. Romo Odunze on the slot fade, right? What a catch, right? I mean, his body control and turnaround, catching that ball. I thought it was just a great play. all around by Chicago Bears. Obviously, tackles try to get a little deeper in their alignment. Right, they called, they called him for being illegal formation. Basically, he's off the ball in a wide receiver and or running back position. Your helmet has to break the backside of the center, the butt of the center. Troy Aikman drew the line on his helmet. You could see that it was breaking it. I thought the refs, we heard all about their squad going into the game, yeah, and they kept up their reputation after watching that game.
Yeah, they make a ton of calls. Some unnecessary, mm-hmm, is their rep. Olin, I'm curious. I told this to David. I wanted to ask you about this yesterday, but we didn't have time. I was watching the Manning cast, and they had this. This was during the bye week, and they had this this thing where Peyton Manning's in his basement, and they had rain going on, and they had a center, and he was taking snaps from the guy, and he told a story about how every Thursday he and Jeff Saturday would work with water. In other words, they'd have the water, mm-hmm, boy come out and soak the ball. And he would take snaps, and he was saying how they did that every Thursday as part of their practice, and Saturday would say to him, why are we doing this? We play in a dome. And Manning said that it was the little things that really mattered, and then he talked about getting into the Super Bowl against you guys, mm-hmm, and how, mm-hmm, how the ball was wet, and it was a wet day, mm-hmm, and he never lost a snap, and they did not fumble in the game, and the Bears fumbled a few times in the course of that game. It was interesting to see the fumble then from Jaden Daniels. And it was interesting that the Bears managed to hang on to the football. Now, Caleb's from that part of the world. I don't know if he's used to that kind of weather, but he managed to hang on to the ball. And they had three turnovers. The Bears had three takeaways, including two fumbles. One was punched out. But that slippage of the ball from the quarterback, was that weather-related, and how much was Manning right about preparing for that sort of thing?
Yeah, he's 100% right. And I'd heard the same story, Mully, after the Super Bowl, man. I thought that is amazing that they worked on that every week, right? And they call it the wet bucket drill for quarterbacks and centers. And honestly, I never even heard of it until Peyton Manning mentioned it, right? And those are the kind of guys you go up against, and they get ready to win games in certain situations. And those are the things that win football games. And you saw, like you're saying, Jaden Daniels, when it was really misty and rainy, and I think they predicted a nor'easter and a weather there, and they knew that stuff was coming in. And if you're preparing for that, you're ready for it. And he just drops that fumble there. I mean, that snap there on 3rd and 1, right? And those are the kind of things that win and lose football games. And that's what happens when you go against a Hall of Fame quarterback in the Super Bowl, and he is prepared for everything. And like you said, it was basically a monsoon there for us in the Super Bowl there in Miami, and we struggled with ball security and holding on to the football, and those guys were ready. And those are the kind of things that make difference in football games, and you learn from it. And too bad we learned too late. But the Chicago Bears look like they're not with the coach they have. They look like they're attacking things. I'd be interested to see if they were working wet ball drills and wet bucket drills, Chicago Bears, because those are the kind of things that we're talking about that you hear leaking out of Halas Hall nowadays that the Bears are doing, like you're saying, in the bye week and getting better at things. They're saying that the coaches and stuff are predicting their problems that are coming. And when you watch the film, you say, man, I wonder if they'll try this to make their team better. It looks like that's the stuff they're doing. And I wouldn't be shocked from everything we're hearing coming out of Halas Hall that those are the things that they are working on up there at Halas Hall. Those kind of things. Like, look, it could be rainy there. Let's work on a few wet ball drills. To your point, it'd be an interesting question to ask them.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Olin.
Appreciate it, Mully. Appreciate it, Dave.
That is Olin Kreutz.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. It is brought to you by Busey Bank and Grey Clips as we break down the Bears' 25-24 win over the Commanders. Your Chicago Bears have won three straight games for the first time since 2020. You know that year that Mitch Trubisky was the MVP, as in Nickelodeon. Nothing comical about this, though, when it came to the way the Bears won. That last-second field goal by Jake Moody. And, yes, DeAndre Swift, a massive part of this. As he went, they went. 108 yards on the ground and 67 yards receiving, 55 of it. That nice explosive run after the catch for the touchdown that he had as well. We tried to figure out what we liked about this game, what we think could be a preview into how the Bears may look for the rest of the season as well. And again, I love that we're talking about the sheer basics of what can help you win a ball game. When your offense doesn't necessarily click on all of the cylinders, it's not hitting on, say, a V12, it's hitting on maybe a really nice VTech 4. Are you doing everything else you can to try to win the ball game? And that's what happened. We saw good runs. We saw a scheme where the run plays worked. We saw a new left tackle try to help out as well when it came to the Bears trying to do more defined runs up the middle, downfield blocking on screen. And there's a lot to take away from when it comes to how we saw them win this game.
The biggest thing for me is not just the fact that they won this game, but that they looked so much better in doing it than they did the last time out. And we talked a little bit about the bye week and what they wanted to do out of that bye week. But also, I think there's this idea that with a new head coach, things would look different. And to see it actualized on Monday Night Football and kind of go through the back and forth of that, because like I said, when they were up 13-0, I was like, the Commanders at some point will take the lead in this game. This game is far from over. And I think Ben Johnson and his coaching staff and Dennis Allen and playing with the chess pieces that he finally had, when you talk about Kyler Gordon and even having TJ Edwards back, I think made a big difference. And I think this is why I'm very optimistic about the Bears going forward. Not just because they have lesser competition coming up, but because they look better as a football team.
There have been glimpses in the 2 years of DeAndre Swift where he has looked really good in some games. Like, we could point to a couple games last year. It's like, okay, I see what we're doing with DeAndre Swift. I want to see that continue. It doesn't have to be this dynamic. I mean, this was terrific. 14 carries, 108 yards, getting bang for your buck right there. The 55-yard reception. My favorite part about DeAndre Swift's night was that final drive where he had a bunch of carries, including a 10-yard carry and a 15-yard carry. I would like to see him continue to do that. So that's the big thing. It's like, pick up, okay, do that, and it doesn't have to look that good every week, but some semblance of it has to be built upon.
Now, if you're talking about areas where you say to yourself, this shouldn't be working this way, like, this is not something I need to see, the rain did absolutely affect the passing game, and we saw that, but Olamide Zaccheaus doesn't need to be leading this team in targets. Yeah, he led with 6 targets in this game, and if you're asking where the tight ends are, well, the targets when they all go to Olamide, you know, that leaves Colson Loveland with 3 and Cole Kmet with 2. Like, that's something that I would like to see change. But we just know that the main objective, the main thing was the main thing. It was improve that running game, try to build off of it so that way you can have the formations where people may be expecting a pass and they get a run instead. There was a lot of bold calls when it came to crucial downs in the yards after a catch that they wanted on third down, for example. Like, that was something that both teams seemingly didn't care about. Like, they're not necessarily scheming a guy to be ahead of the sticks on a lot of those plays, like where you get the defined third down as soon as the guy catches the ball. I feel like there was a lot of, we're going to make you run for this because we think we can block it. So when it comes to that part of the observation, I feel like that's still a work in progress, too.
Well, I ask this because I look at Olamide Zaccheaus as this kind of safety blanket. It's obviously a target that Caleb is very comfortable with. And so I wonder, is this about that comfort level and just not being there with some of these other players when you talk about the progressions and the reads? I mean, I see the 6 targets, and I see what you're talking about, Layla, but does that speak more so to maybe what the design was this particular week, or is it just the constant that Zacchaeus, going back to training camp, has been that guy
for Caleb Williams? No, he's been his blankie. Like, he's been, if you wonder where all those other balls are going, ask yourself how many times he's being targeted.
Right, because it's not, they have not gotten in a complete rhythm with what ultimately they need to, and that is with the tight ends, with Colston Loveland, who I know had, we had one, he had a 10-yard play on that final drive, right?
Yeah, Colston, but he also had the ball.
Catch that was,
yes, he did. Catch for the first down that got called back.
Offensive interference, yeah.
But there were some bad ones, like DJ Moore lined up wrong, you know, that's something. Also, we're continuing to follow DJ Moore, by the way, who had to stay at a hospital overnight in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, there were a few rough penalties. Yeah, the DJ Moore penalty on the Kmet first down in the fourth quarter. Already mentioned the Theo Benedet one on the illegal formation of what would have been what was, and then turned away the touchdown to Roma Dunze. You had the Brisker personal foul. He went low.
He dealt with the quarterback, and of course you have to hit them not above the shoulders.
It's got to be between the knees and shoulders.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's a very specific target because he was coming from a side view, from a lateral around the end. He dove at him, and when you dive, you're not going to be able to control necessarily where you land on the quarterback. He landed below the knee.
I think the issue was too that on the Caleb Williams run to the left side, he gets met hard by Frankie Louvu. And it looked like there could have been a penalty there based on the fact that the momentum carried Caleb Williams out of bounds. And they always say, and Mike Florio always talks about this, that unfortunately, once you run the ball, you don't get the same protections. And Daniels, for example, was in the pocket. But that refereeing crew lived up to their reputation as being the crew that calls the most penalties per game in the league. And that's exactly what happened. But you do want to at least examine that stuff. Because if you know that you're not getting those calls, then you got to adjust. And that's something that I think the Bears haven't done well enough in the past couple of years. Like, if you are being judged to more scrutiny, you have to at least adjust to it. You know, like Theo Benedet lining up wrong, that was an illegal formation that negated the Roma Dunze touchdown. You know, there are all these little difference makers in the game where, in theory, the Commanders would have never even retaken the lead. You know, that would have been enough to have that cushion to where they wouldn't have been up 17-16.
The worst penalty to me was the DJ Moore lining up offsides, because you can't line up offsides.
Yeah.
That's just something you cannot do, is line up offsides.
Well, and that's a question that we had amongst ourselves, was how long were we willing to put up with those types of penalties while they're still learning a new offense?
I don't know whether to chalk it up to the weather or DJ Moore's injury. Actually, that was earlier in the game. So I don't know, but I think understanding the reputation of the crew, calling more penalties than anyone else, and to survive that, I think, is another layer to why this win deserves more than 6 3/4 or whatever Grody ascribed to it.
All right, maybe I can get to 7 by the end of the show. We'll see. It's Raheemy Harris and Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You want to know another game changer? Like, if we're doing game changers for bad things for the Bears, I mean, you guys mentioned the penalties and the would-be Rome touchdown. And I know we talked about this on Take the North. By the way, Take the North up and running with Raheemy Harris and Grody right now, if you want the condensed version of our takes.
That it is.
Yeah. Alamide Zacchaeus in the fourth quarter on a 2nd and 16, and the Bears are backed up, and it feels like hell for the Bears. Like, they're not going to get out of this. We're going to need a big punt from Torrey Taylor here eventually. And there it was. Zacchaeus, what, about a 7-yard slant pass? He couldn't catch it, and he had, as the camera showed, nothing but Bermuda grass ahead of him.
He saw the grass. He should have been watching the football.
Yeah, that was the problem. He was running before he caught the ball.
There is that. Yes. But, man, that's just like, watching it, it's like,
oh, there were some really nicely schemed plays by Ben Johnson and the offensive. I'll give Declan Doyle some credit, sure. There were some really nice scheme plays by Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle in this game where you could say, yeah, if this worked, it would have made sense. But unfortunately, a lot of them didn't work. The good news is enough of them did to where we're talking about this right now.
Robbie, we take a note for Layla. Just gave credit to Declan Doyle. Get that to him immediately, that he has been credited in part.
Does he have a fax machine?
Yes. I'm not sure if he's got a fax machine.
He's under the age of 30.
I don't know how to use a fax machine.
Do you think he knows what the fax machine is?
No.
I'm actually older than Declan Doyle, and that makes me want to cry.
God. Oh, my God. And you know what a fax machine is.
I'm just a baby.
Yeah, this surprises me. Yeah.
Clearly, Grody does with his ringtone. He knows what a fax machine
is. That's how I feel about Jake Moody. I was like, he's just a baby. Mimi.
Yeah, poor little Moody walking around with his helmet on. Nobody knows who the hell he is. Hey, Jake, how you doing? I'm Mark. Good to meet you.
Also, we did have sacks in this game.
Sack machine.
That's what. Never mind.
We had exactly. We had Jervon Dexter get credited with 1.5 sacks. You go, Jervon.
Yeah.
And Dominique Robinson got 0.5 sack, and then there was a team sack. And I don't even want to talk about that whole Dominique Robinson and pass coverage thing, because if they had lost, I might be ripping on that for the last 40 minutes or so.
Does everybody get a share of that sack, by the way? Does everybody get like a little fraction? Is it like a team portion when you win a playoff series?
Is it one of those where there was no gain, so therefore it was a sack? Like, was it the RPO where, like, quarterback runs kind of, but it's still qualified?
It's a team lift, you know?
They always say, do your 1/11th, so everybody got 1/11th of a sack.
Did you say team lift?
Yeah.
Team lift? You're talking about a team lift?
I guess
seriously?
That team lift
team
paid off.
Lift.
I guess it paid off. Yes, it did.
Oh, my God. Didn't even realize it. Did you see? The biceps did look good, man. Zacchaeus looks loaded. Look at him, man.
And so I
said DeAndre Swift looked pretty in shape, did he not?
You see those legs? The squats that guy's been doing?
They got those David Robinson arms where it's like shoulder and then nothing and then bicep.
Yes.
The opposite of the Carmelo Anthony arm. I got you. No, but
poor Melo.
It was very fatalist.
He's just out here trying to score.
I know. It's very fatalist that I thought, one, during the Zacchaeus play that you just mentioned where he drops the ball, I thought there was going to be holding in the end zone for a safety. That's just where my mind went, first of all. And then second of all, the team sack, for that to be the first sack of the game, I thought that was ominous. I was like, well, maybe this will be a team victory of some kind. I don't know. But team sack seemed very ridiculous for the sixth sack of the season.
I got a lot to ask about to Tim Jenkins, because I feel like Washington may have shot themselves in the foot with all the RPOs instead of design runs, but I felt like that was the way to go for the Bears, so that doesn't really answer anything for me.
He didn't know how much improved they would be as far as run defense and how much more sound they would be with their guys back.
Yeah, the run fits, and frankly, welcome back TJ Edwards. Because I think you really saw the difference he made. Kyler Gordon being back as well. You saw a lot more blitz look. A lot more of that because he was back. So having those two back was huge.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello! Man, it's nice to have a win on the road over a real team in an island game. Not only not be a national embarrassment, but be one of the teams that's getting talked about in this league as, what's happening over there? They seem to have a little something brewing.
You've won 3 in a row, and it feels better because the first 2 wins that you had, people were like, well, that Cowboys thing is a disaster.
Yep, they can't stop anybody, including the Panthers.
I think Shannon Sharpe said they can't stop a parked car. Defensively, that's how bad they are.
Yeah, it's rough. They don't move.
And then the Raiders game was all like, well, it was kind of a home game, and Geno kept giving you the ball.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
They don't seem very good either.
No, but that was a road game, so we're like, yeah, you still got to win on the road in the league.
It's tough to win on the road, and now the Bears have done it. And winning in Washington against a team that people think is better, we'll see, because I do think there is some plateauing of Jaden Daniels is happening, and I know that he had a 119 passer rating in the game yesterday. I do think there's some plateauing for him and that team, so we'll see. Maybe this is where the two guys, they converge again, and we'll see how their charts continue.
Well, it is a real thing, these two teams. It is a real rivalry in terms of these two quarterbacks.
Where's your rivalry now?
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders.
I mean, people were hot.
Couldn't you just hire Wale to do something for you? Wouldn't that be a better choice? or any go-go artists? Let's do that instead.
Oh, DC Go-Go. Where's Chuck Brown?
Yeah.
There's the godfather of go-go himself. But that's...
Get A. Marie to do something? Something.
That's a team that went to the NFC Championship that has a real run game and a real run defense, and you were the better running team last night. Man, there was physicality that was enjoyable on the offensive line. It's been a while since we got to feel that. But that's a team that's very well coached, Dan Quinn and Kingsbury and such, and to go in there and get a win, that was really, really cool. Now, here's some of the stuff that comes out afterwards about how well they think they've been practicing, how they have responded to some of the stuff that Ben has thrown at them, and to see them once again in the locker room, in the cramped quarters of a visiting locker room this time, have a vibe, have a realness about them as they handed out game balls and such. Like, this is, they got a thing happening here.
Good, better, best. Right?
Yep.
This is where you're at.
And not just that, they got there along the way. Let's let people hear from Ben Johnson as he gives out game balls and gets to that mantra eventually last night after the game.
That was a team win.
Yes, sir.
All three phases.
Yes, sir.
It took all three phases to win that game.
And, man, let me just tell you this.
Just imagine when we clean up these penalties. You guys understand where we're going, right?
Let's go to our list.
Some people might say takeaways are lucky. They are not lucky. You earn those things every single week, and we got a trend going right now.
Three-piece!
A three-piece!
Three-piece!
Best part of the game was this. Did it go up and down?
Yeah.
You never blinked. Not for a second.
Nope.
Not for 1 second. Nice and steady, nice and calm the entire way through, and you know what? Whatever it took, we found a way. That's three in a row. And the only thing I need is a little bit more!
Hey fellas, real quick, let's go to our list. Let's see how we did.
Let's go.
Get out of here, ooh. Matt. What are you doing in here?
You're not gonna be.
You got no space
for much longer. not gonna work here anymore.
I mean, they got a real thing. They got a real thing. They got a real connection with that guy. They play hard for that guy. He loves on him. He tells him when they're screwing up. There's something real that is brewing.
It's nice. It's recent history of the Bears tells you that that team doesn't win that game. And it's nice to be in a place where they did. That they took advantage. And I did my video last night, talked a bit about it on House of L. I went right back to the Lovie years because that was Lovie's formula. Like, let's win the turnover, the takeaway battle.
For sure.
If you're a plus three, you're more than 90% likely to win a football game. And I know that Ben is an EPA guy, but if you're plus two, plus three in a game, your chances of winning are exponentially higher. And they did that yesterday. They took advantage where, whether it's a ball that bounces off of a guy's chest that should have been an interception in the red zone by Jaden Daniels, or we saw it play out where the earlier fumble just bounced right back up to him like it was a rugby ball. But the one that you needed, you got when you had to have it. And that's how you win games.
Yeah, absolutely. And you heard what he said. Like, just imagine when we play clean, and guys are like, oh, boy, oh, no. Because 9 penalties for 84 yards, some of those not great calls by those refs. That is obviously something to discuss. But the turnovers make up for a lot of – look, we're going to talk a lot of offense. We're going to talk a lot of offense on this show and a lot of Ben Johnson. I thought Dennis Allen coached his ass off last night. I really enjoyed seeing what I thought was maybe the first time he was able to do some of the stuff he really likes to do schematically now that he's got Kyler back. And TJ Edwards just, you know, just being everywhere he needs to be. Still hampered by that hamstring. Got beat a couple times.
They put
in space.
Him in conflict a couple of times yesterday, and I felt really bad for him.
Yeah, especially in the physical state that he's in. But I thought Dennis Allen had a really good game, and that run defense stood up strong, man. And that's a good young running back in Bill Kroski Merritt, and they held him in check.
He's got to learn how to hold on to the ball. You can have a great story, but if you turn it over, that's how, you know, it ends up not being a great story.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.